Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, this is the 4th of July weekend. The 4th of July week, not weekend, because it's in the middle of the week. And we are celebrating, you know, our Declaration of Independence.
That's awesome. You know, I was just in Philadelphia not long ago, and I actually had a chance to see the house that Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. Now, you got to see this. You're in downtown Philadelphia, okay?
Get out of Dodge.
There's buildings everywhere. There's people walking all over the place. And right on the corner, you would have passed it up, is this little old house in between a couple of buildings. Actually, one building's on a corner. And there it was. I'm like, look, Elijah, look. This is very important. This is historic. He's like, where, Dad? I'm like, right here.
Right.
The Declaration of Independence was actually written by Thomas Jefferson.
And
pretty cool.
Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, we so look at history by our present day. We try to define where we were by where we are. But the truth is, we can only define where we are by where we've been. You know, you got to find out our history. And so we end up changing our history, trying to adjust it to our present day. And that's what they're trying to do in America, right? Many people are trying to say, that's all outdated. And even though it gave them the right to be able to say it's outdated, you know, that, you know, it needs to be changed, even though it gave them the right to stand in leadership, you know, to say it could be changed. You know, it is, it's the very thing that the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, they just said, listen, it's just time. We just believe it's self-evident that all men are created equal. You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, King, you know, you're not God. The church shouldn't have been merged together in the first place with the government. You know, it's not about, it's not a separation of church and state so that the church will stay out of the state. It's separation of church and state so the state will stay out of the church. Because this is the problem. Listen to this. This is the problem. The problem is we've got to quit defining the church by what we've created it to be in our own eyes and men, because the church is people. But as long as if you let somebody define you and define the church different than what God said, then all of a sudden now you're like a club, a Rotary Club or something. Nothing is Rotary Clubs, but the fact is that, you know, they see you as an institution. They see you as a building. They see you as a corporation. And they see you in the all together in this organization versus the individual who is a believer. So if we are the church, if believers are the body of Christ, to say a government that's by the people and for the people, to say the separation of the church from the state is to separate the people from the state. Hence, you cannot separate the people from the state if we live by the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But you can separate the state from the church, that they cannot make any laws concerning the church. It's the First Amendment rights. You know, when I was Mary and Blake and Amber this on the beach out there this weekend, that, you know, we used to say, you know, by the power, you know, we brought in the government. It's like, what are we doing? Right. Oh, my goodness. The truth is, you know, because of God, because of the call of God on my life, because of the church, and because what God says about marriage, and because the government recognizes that with the U.S. Constitution by the First Amendment, I hereby have authority under God to marry you. It has nothing to do with the state. The state does not give you authority to marry somebody. If you're at the church, it's you being the church. It's what you do. And you marry and you counsel and you walk with and you disciple and you encourage the church, which are people. You don't encourage a building. Well, it's nice shutters today. I really like your shutters. Did you ever think about
steeple?
That's pretty nice. Nothing against steeple. I got a good friend that's a steeple. And I'm not, you think about it. When you talk about the church, so many people identify with buildings that they can get offended by it. And, you know, like Steve Hill said, you know, we talked on Friday, you know, not to be offended. We're for the church wherever it gathers, whatever it is in, whatever it is not in, because the people are the church.
That's right.
You know, the outside does not make the inside. It's what's on the inside of that gathering that actually makes the church. And so you can paint a big building and put people in it that are not the church, and it's not the church. But you can actually put, you can be in an auditorium, for example, that all kinds of things happen in the auditorium. And, but when the church comes and gathers together, what's inside of that building, the auditorium, is the church. The auditorium didn't become the church. what we're talking about when we say the church. We're talking about the people gathered in there. That's why we don't have to worry about where we go as the church, because we're the church wherever we go. Mm-hmm.
How can you go to what you are?
How can you go to what you are? All you can truly do is be. So, well, you know, we joke around about that, but the thing is that, you know, you're the church. But the thing about that, when you know you're the church, it's like, that means the word of God applies to me. It applies to me. And that is, it drives you to the cross. It literally brings you to the reality of our desperate need for a savior.
Right.
You know, but when it's not you and it's that building, you can say all kinds of things, or you think it's a board of directors, or you think it's somebody's good idea, or you're thinking it's been something that's passed down for generations versus somebody who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I mean, you can be in a 3-piece suit and a tower and in New York and be the church, part of the church, or you can be, you know, plowing fields in your little small garden in China with wearing one of your 2 sets of clothes, and you can be the church. They're equal. As a matter of fact, the one who's plowing the field may be of higher esteem in the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. in the eyes of God, right?
Yeah.
And so so we can't define ourselves in America. We got to redefine or go back and go for the original intent of who we are as the church. If we hang on to redefining ourselves outside what God says that we are, you know, it's gonna crumble. It's gonna, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, I wasn't gonna share this, you know, till tomorrow, but I think I want to share it now because I remember the movie Patriot. Do you remember the movie Patriot?
Oh yeah.
Was that with Mel Gibson, Pat?
Yeah, it sure was.
Okay.
Yeah, that was with Mel Gibson, and that in that movie, you know, and I always encourage everybody that when you're watching a movie as a believer, you know, you can get something as simple as what's called clear play. Mm-hmm. It's really cool because when you put a DVD into it or whatever they're called, you know, Blu-rays or whatever, it just removes things that you don't want to see or you don't want to hear. So I can't vouch for what's all there in the context of that. But what, you know, in that moment, there's a moment in there. Mm-hmm. We're talking about separation of church and state. In that moment, remember that we signed our Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we did that, we said that this is just not right. Mm-hmm. That you can't, you know, your form of government and mixing the church together and all of that is just not right.
Right.
And because if you leave the church, the Church of England, they considered it treason. It was treason because they merged the two.
Right.
They merged the two. And I got so many things to share with you. You got to stay tuned to VFN Radio. We're going to talk to you about, you know, they're digitizing every member of India right now. 1.2 billion members, wow. Population, and everybody, fingerprints, digital print, online print. So listen, we are getting there right now, and we got to wake up. America, listen, we have a unique thing that God gave us. You know, and this panicking and bringing in things like the Patriot Act and different things that are surrendering all the things to one big, huge database, you know, it's gonna challenge what we're doing. But anyway, so they considered it was treason because so the king or the queen or the king was over the church.
Right.
So mm-hmm. for you to come to America, you know, and be a part of the colonies and all that was going on, and for you to preach the gospel as it's written in the Word of God, they considered you as part of the problem.
Mm. Wow.
They considered it treason. And in the movie, there's a segment in the movie where they go off to be able to fight for America, and these are our founding fathers, you know. And when they do that, there's a small little town where Mel Gibson's son had found a wife that he was betrothed to, and he was going to come back and marry her, I guess, after this battle. And so they go away. When they go away, the British, the redcoats, came in, the ones who are loyal to the king, the ones who are loyal to the mindset of church and government go together. Mm-hmm. That was their loyalty. They were not loyal to what we would call the First Amendment day, mm-hmm. separation. And they were so together that they could look at those who were not in the Church of England, even though they had a Bible in their hand, even though they preached the Word of God accurately, and they could call them somebody was in treason. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
You know, we just don't get, that's the reason why the First Amendment's there. And so they had one of their own that joined the Redcoats, you know, that was there. And it's his own. He's coming into a town on horseback, and they're coming in. They're trying to find, you know, Mel Gibson and all the guys that are fighting for the freedom for America, some of the patriots. And And then here he is. He's faced with, because the leader of that army turned to him, one of their own, who was riding with them. So now he's not their own. And he said, I want you to burn it down. He says, burn down their houses? And he's like, no, burn down the church. Burn down everything. And he looks at them like, oh, no. But he had to make a choice. And let me tell you, if you're riding with the Redcoats, if you're hanging out with those who are not hanging out with God and the U.S. Constitution, it seems okay now. But there's going to be a day they look at you and they're going to demand loyalty from you over what God says. Anyway, so he looks at him and he gives him that look like, this is my family and my friends. These are people that I know. How can I do that? And he decides to do this. He decides to do what they said and burn down his own people. Listen to this. This is it. It's about 2 minutes.
Ready to fire the town on your order, sir.
The town? Burn the church.
There's no honor in this.
Didn't you say all those who stand against England deserve to die a traitor's death? Burn the church, Captain.
Give me the torch.
He's going towards the church right now with a torch in his hand while the members of the church are gathered in a small country church building. Wow. He's thinking. He throws the torch. They're slamming the shutters. They're surrounding the church with flames and fire. The building. Smoke's coming under the door. They're screaming for their very lives.
The honor is found in the end, not the means. This will be forgotten.
He looks back at his friends and his family burning in the church building. The flames are pouring out from the walls. They're trying to break out, but they can't. They're screaming. They're turning to each other. They know this is it. It's engulfed in flames. He looks back, the one who truly committed treason, who threw the first torch. And they march away while the church is burned. Not the building, the people who were in the building. And the only thing that's left is rubble, ashes. It's gone. The First Amendment is there because of that very reason. We're so far gone from how it all happened and how it came to pass that we're forgetting that they gave their lives so that we could preach the gospel and the good news, and that when righteous people are when people who love God are thriving and the nation is blessed, but when wicked rulers rule over it, the people groan, is what he says in his word. And that you understand that the church, not the buildings, but the people are an enemy of darkness. Your very existence. You're not liked, and you can't negotiate with evil.
That's right.
You know, we're going to lay down our lives, and we will turn the other cheek and all those different things. But right now, we have the First Amendment to the Constitution. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, they didn't know if they would live beyond the night. They didn't know if they would be hung in the gallows that night. But they knew it was right. And we're living today in this nation in the freedom that we have because men knew it was right. They had a conviction of what was right. There is no conviction hardly anywhere. It's just like a jellyfish, you know what I'm saying? You see a jellyfish, and we've seen a lot of those, you know, diving. And it's like they just go wherever the current leads them, you know? And you just don't know where they're going to go. But we're called to stand for truth. You know, for people, for, you know, as Americans, for America, for the Constitution. Listen, As I say often, the president swore to uphold the Constitution and protect it from his enemies, foreign and domestic. The Senate and the Congress swore to uphold the Constitution and protect it from enemies, foreign and domestic. The judiciary branch has done the same thing. You know, our governors, our soldiers, citizens are being sworn in. And it's like, but can we stand for what's right? Are we willing to take a stand for the issues and the values of what's right? Listen, standing up, think about it. Standing up for what your country is made up of in regards to the Constitution, this is how we operate. How could that be wrong?
Right.
It could only be wrong if you believe it's wrong and it needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be changed. We need to be changed.
All right.
You know, one of the issues is that, of course, is that the church is trying to do the same thing with the Word of God. I don't believe that if we keep denying the sovereignty of God and keep removing his acknowledgement and his name and his commandments and, you know, all these different areas where we're acknowledging God, if we keep removing him from those areas, we're not going to have a sovereignty of America. It's just not going to be anymore. I mean, why would God continue? Because he's the one that uplifts nations and he's the one that brings them down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that if a nation, you know, and you can hear about this on, I believe, the Elijah storm on VFNTV.com. And there's a whole bunch of things there for you. Just go to VFNTV.com and you can subscribe for free and begin to listen to these prophetic words. But he says if he decides he wants a nation to rise up, which he did for America, it will. But if they do evil and he sends things to us to warn us and to turn, and we don't turn, he removes the nation.
Wow. That's right.
There's no, look at the progression of history. I mean, nations rise and nations fall. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but God's kingdom's for ever and ever. And so, how could it be wrong for you to, first of all, know the Constitution and stand up for it? You know, we're focusing at this moment on, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the, you know, who we are as Americans, and understand as the church, you know, us that are believers, not buildings, organizations, we got to quit letting things divide us and say, you know, we want to unite us. But we can't unite around a doctrine outside of the Word of God. It's got to be a doctrine of the Word of God. Jesus has to be, the Jesus has to be the center of it. The Son of God has to be the center of it.
That's right.
And humility in the context of we can't do this outside of him and what his sacrifice is on the cross. But with him, we can do it as we surrender our lives to him and obey him and follow him in that area. But, oh my goodness, can you believe the first half hour is gone? We're going to have this message, and we're going to be right back in just a moment. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.